In the name of Allah, the All-Beneficent, the All-Merciful.
Imamah is established through the explicit mention, nas, of Allah and His Messenger, not through the choice and allegiance of the community, Ummah. It is a must for every Imam to give a nas, explicit mention, about his successor Imam who must be obeyed after him. Some arguments about this have been mentioned in the previous parts. It must be remembered that our scholars are unanimous on this point that Imam is always appointed by Allah and His Rasul, Messenger. The Abbasids say that it is through nas or miraz, inheritance, and the Zaydis say either through nas or through an invitation given by Imam, himself. All the Bakris and Umaris say that Imam is appointed either through nas or through the choice of the leading people of the community. There are many arguments based on logic, in favor of our stand.
First argument. As is known by now that the Imam must be infallible, and infallibility is an unseen or hidden matter, which is known to none but Allah. It is essential that the nas should be from Allah, because only He knows about infallibility, none else.
Second argument. It becomes known, by observing the habits of the children of Adam, mankind, and the nature, and leanings of the people of the world that, when they do not have, over them, a powerful ruler or a strong king who can prevent them from injustice, oppression, lust, and such other evils, many people become desirous of suppressing and exploiting the members of their own species, and to overpower others, through high-handedness and murder and so on, which will cause all sorts of corruption and chaos for the entire society and deprivation of peace and tranquility. It is certain that Allah Almighty does not like such a situation as He says. And Allah does not like mischief. 2:205. So, it is for Allah Almighty to remove corruption, and this does not occur automatically. Rather, it is necessary that the administration and management of the mankind must be entrusted to a person who may never deviate from the path of welfare, truthfulness, and justice, and fair play, and who may protect the interests of all, in the matter of both this world and the hereafter, in accordance with the divine Shariat, code of life. So, if Allah does not appoint such an Imam, in every age, it would imply that He is pleased with corruption. But corruption is an ugly thing. Allah cannot be pleased with an ugly and improper thing.
Third argument. It has been proved through both texts and logic that Allah always cares the most, on account of His extreme love for His servants, for the guidance towards the right path of their welfare, in the matter of their lives in both the worlds, on earth and in the hereafter. It is mentioned in the Holy Quran. Verily the merciful Allah is very kind to the servants. 2:207. The proof of His being extremely kind and merciful for His servant is that He never allows any shortcoming in the details of acts and deeds. Therefore He has made His servants aware of even little things, like depilation and mustache cutting, and about cleaning of private parts with stone and water, and even about copulating, through His merciful and kind messengers explicitly. Thus, it becomes clear that it is extremely essential for the messenger to appoint his caliph or successor, who may protect the laws, rules, and regulations of the Shariat, after his messenger's departure, and who may defend his followers from enemies and opponents, and that this is more important and essential than the aforesaid details. Now, when Allah is never slack, even in the matter of things of little importance, then how can He neglect the most important need of perfecting such great essentiality, which is the greatest pillar of religion? So it must be believed that Allah has appointed such an Imam, who is the ruler of all servants. So when He revealed to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, to appoint his successor, Imam, all the Muslims agreed that the nas was in favor of none but Amirul Mu'minin al-Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Fourth argument. The Bakris and Umaris agree that, according to the divine rule, Allah has never called back, that is, made to die any of His messenger, right from Adam to Khatam, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon all of them, without appointing their successor. The same had been the rule of the Holy Prophet too, peace be upon him. He had never left for any travel or any battlefield, without first appointing his caliph in Medina. Even, when he did not go out of town, he used to appoint rulers for every place where Muslims lived, either in a small numbers or a big. Even, while sending someone for a battle, he never failed to appoint a chief or leader, and this appointment never depended on the liking of the people. He himself, used to make such appointment, according to the divine command. This was his rule during his every absence, be it a long or a short one. How then could he leave the administration, according to Shariat rules of all the Muslims of the world till the day of resurrection without appointing an imam?
Fifth argument. The office of imamah is like prophethood, because both have to do with an administration and governance, and are concerned with all responsible elements in all the worldly and otherworldly matters. It is not possible for the people to recognize such a person, who may qualify for this office. Because, even if it is their unanimous choice about a person, that selection will be according only to their defective mind and reasoning, and wrong selfishness, self-interest, which cannot be in accordance with an overall common interest, and the divine wisdom. Everyone will propose the name of only that person who will be, in his opinion, useful for him or his community. Of course, such unanimity is possible under pressure, such as in the government of tyrant, oppressor kings, and dictators. It cannot be imamah or leadership of the general public, and so not a religious and legitimate rule. Again, if the masses can, according to divine strategy, select an imam, they can also select a messenger or prophet, which is wrong unanimously. It is worth noting that, suppose, at some place, a king dismisses the governor, but does not appoint anybody else, in that post, or if the administrator of some place goes out of station, but appoints no one in charge of his office to take care of the public, but leaves the matter to the choice of the people, then, certainly those who do not believe that an imam must be appointed by Allah, will criticize the above-mentioned governor or ruler severely. How strange that, those who find fault with the above-mentioned situation think that, it is all right in the case of Allah and the Messenger, and say that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, passed away from the world, but he did not appoint anyone as his successor, but left such selection to the public. Sixth argument. Take for granted that the Ummah, Muslim community, gives up all selfishness and desires, and selects an imam after a serious and sincere thought. But since to err is human, it is possible that someone makes some mistake in selection, and they may leave aside a proper person, and select an unworthy fellow, as often happens in kingdoms and dictatorships and general elections, wherein they elect a person for a period, considering him quite fit, but subsequently their choice proves to be erroneous. This matter will be discussed in depth in the future.
Seventh argument. Take it for granted that the selection of an imam by an ummah itself is correct and all right, but it is quite obvious that the most merciful Allah is the knower of all open and hidden matters, and is most aware of his servants, and of who is appropriate for which work or job. Verily this is quite easy for him. Then despite this fact, to give it up and to entrust it to others, who hardly know these things, is like preferring a less preferable thing, and it is improper and ugly and impossible on the part of the omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, and the all-wise Allah.
Eighth argument. If the selection of imam is at the discretion of the ummah, then there are two possibilities. Their selection will be erroneous. Now, since the Creator knew beforehand that they will be making mistakes, it will be extremely ugly on the part of the omniscient and all-wise Allah, who is very kind and merciful, to entrust such important matters of managing religious affairs and training of the ummah to those who err and select tyrant rulers. The omniscient can never do this. Moreover, when the divine knowledge had encompassed that people would be selecting a worthy person for imamah, though it is extremely difficult to recognize such a man, and to make the people recognize him, and to prepare them for his obedience, and to remove the enmity of the quarreling, and the envy of the envious for people, but as it is quite easy for the Lord of the universe, it is extremely ugly on his part to leave so much hard work to others, and to appoint a group of weak persons for such a big job. It is totally impossible on the part of the omnipresent, omnipotent and omniscient. He himself asserts, Allah likes ease for you and does not want hardship. 2:185. Again he says, He has not laid upon you a hardship in religion. 22:78. And what is more difficult than the above-mentioned task? This argument combines the past two arguments. Now, I invite you to have a glimpse, to some verses of the Holy Quran, which mention the manner of appointment of the Imams alayhim as-salam. The first verse. The Lord of the Universe asserts, Today, I have perfected for you your religion, and have concluded my bounties on you. 5:3. The entire Ummah agrees that, after prophethood nothing is more essential than Imama, that is, overall leadership for them, because if there is no Imam, there will very soon be no sign of either religion or the believers, that's to say, Islam of Muslims. Thus, both the religion and the Ummah or Millah, will still remain in dire need of an Imam, without whom they will remain imperfect. So, if Allah did not appoint an Imam, and did not inform the Ummah about him, and lifted his messenger from this world, then it would only mean that both the religion and Ummah or Muslim community would remain imperfect, and whoever did so, has denied Allah, Prophet and Quran and has become a disbeliever or a denier, notwithstanding the widely related tradition, which is narrated by both Shias and Bakris and Umaris that, this verse was revealed after the Nas showing the appointment of Amirul Mu'mineen al-Imam Ali, peace be upon him, as the Caliph. We shall mention them now. Those verses are, the Almighty has said in many verses that we have mentioned everything in the Quran, such as, Surah Al-An'am 6:38. And, there is no animal that walks upon the earth, nor a bird that flies with its two wings, but they are general like yourselves, we have not neglected anything in the book, then to their Lord shall they be gathered. And in Surah An'al 16:89. And, we have revealed the book to you explaining clearly everything, and a guidance and mercy and good news, for those who submit. And similar other verses which convey that, there is nothing about which we have not said in the Holy Quran. Now, the command about Imama and his appointment is the most important command, and also very essential, which has certainly been mentioned, and not left out. He must not have left it to others to decide, and whoever will say in opposition to this, will deny Quran and become an apostate.